Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Sharad Kutan. 7:46 right now. We have got the Minister of Higher Education waiting on the sidelines, ready for the breakfast grill, Dato' Sri Idris Jusso. We'll be speaking to Ibrahim Sani. Lots of things to discuss with him, including the new education blueprint. Let's find out what the progress is so far and what the Higher Education Ministry is doing to equip young graduates with employable skills.
Yeah, I think, you know, always with blueprints. Blueprints are aspirations. They're not, they're not reports. They're not assessment reports. And I think that's something that we need also coming from independent monitors of the education system. We need to speak to academics. We too often speak to politicians. I think we don't speak enough to people who work in departments of education who should be monitoring and doing research on exactly what's happened with these often very grand plans, and nobody can sort of fault them just reading what they aspire to. The issue really is implementation.
I would love to speak to Bernie Sanders and see how he can implement free tuition.
I'll call him. I'll get right on that, Jules, and have him on the breakfast grill shortly. Okay, but the biggest news from the financial markets yesterday, of course, was the fact that Bank Negara unexpectedly cut the overnight policy rate by 25 basis points to 3% at its policy meeting. They cited rising risks from the Brexit. And I guess this caught a lot of market players by surprise, especially given that the last policy statement was somewhat neutral. And usually the central bank gives a bit of warning beforehand. But despite the citing the risks, the rising risks from Brexit, we spoke to Dr. Suresh Ramanathan, who is an independent forex strategist. He was one of the few analysts that believed, who had been calling for a rate cut. And he believes that the decision was in fact more because of domestic factors.
I think the slowdown in private consumption, passenger car vehicle sales, PMI numbers for manufacturing by Nikkei, as well as the auto sales, which was quite bad for the month of May, and also as well as export numbers, which was weaker than expected, it actually signals the point that the slowdown is getting a lot more faster than expected. So I think the central bank on previous occasions had underestimated the weakness in the domestic demand, and given the numbers for May and June were coming out, that showed that they had to make a move. So it's very likely that they are biased towards an easing policy, and this move today is very significant.
That was Dr. Suresh Ramanathan, independent forex strategist. What do you think, Jules? Do you think this was just Bank Negara reacting to external headwinds, or perhaps maybe, you know, responding to an economy that could be showing signs of slowing down, domestic economy?
I think it's a bit of everything. I think the global situation has a lot to play into it, and also the domestic factors. And we look at the trend around the region with our ASEAN brothers and sisters. You know, they have had accommodative policy since the start of this year, in the last year or two. Even Singapore had a major policy shift early part of this year when they abandoned that need to have a currency appreciation, right? Which was their mainstay policy in the past. I think only Philippines had a very firm policy, but they also weakened recently. So it's really a bit of both external and domestic pressures.
What about, you know, the move by EPF, the Central Provident Fund, some months ago?
EPF or CPF?
EPF, which is the Employees Provident Fund, which, you know, announced that Malaysians could choose to lessen their contributions to their EPF. Again, the explicit objective there was to put more money into the economy, into hands of people, and therefore into the economy, trying to boost consumer spending. How effective was that move? Is anybody monitoring that? And is this yet another attempt to kind of put more money in the hands of people and therefore push up, consumption?
Well, I believe we spoke about this a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. EPF said that the take-up rate was less than half, or was about half, right? So
yeah.
Half of the EPF members opted out of having their contributions cut. So they actively went to fill up a form and said, please don't cut my contributions. I need my pension fund.
And even if everybody took it out, we're just talking about 8 billion ringgit, which is not going to make a dent in consumption spending in Malaysia to lift Malaysia's GDP or anything like that. I'm also wondering how much this interest rate reduction, how much the role of the ringgit or even concerns about where the ringgit would go played into this interest rate reduction. Because we know in the past year, the ringgit has gone through very turbulent times, and it has somewhat stabilized, coincidentally with the oil prices stabilizing as well. But when you reduce interest rates, I think you have to be really careful that you don't have any confidence-busting news coming out of Malaysia, right, or 1MDB or whatever, coming out to dominate headlines again and reducing investors' confidence in Malaysia, which would have an impact on interest rates. But nevertheless, that interest rate differential between Malaysia and, say, the US or Japan will still make Malaysia quite an attractive place for people coming here to invest their money, because you still have about, 4% something for Malaysian bonds coming in here compared to the zero or negative bonds all around the world.
Well, what effect will this have on mortgage rates? And if mortgage rates are going to come down, will it help boost the property market? If people are saying, well, I'm going to get into, buying a property because it looks like I'll be able to service those loans.
I don't think so. I think it's only a quarter of a point, quarter percentage interest rate reduction.
Yeah.
It may put a few bucks more into your wallets. I don't think at this point in time the property sector would go crazy.
7:53 right now. Let's take a look at the corporate Malaysia landscape. Eureka Corporation and Aeon Corp, they have called off their plan to build a shopping centre in Senawang, Seremban.
Yeah, so this is a reflection that things are kind of slowing down and the sentiment out there is not good. I mean, we're talking about Seremban, quite close to KL, a pretty populous area. And I think some people do commute between Seremban and
KL,
right?
Yeah.
So a shopping center might not be a bad idea there, but these are just anecdotal signs that all is not well in the retail sector.
Well, I don't think Klang Valley needs another shopping mall, but perhaps, in the outer skirts. So Seremban would have been a perfect location.
Well, you have your Giants and your huge hypermarkets out in, Seremban and Senawang and such. Is this a sign that confidence in building these malls is reducing? Or is it, like you said, Melissa, really about oversupply? There's already, we see, if you go out to these, Nilai 1, Nilai 2, Nilai 3
right.
Nilai developments, 17.
You know that they're already well-serviced by
supermarkets. Well, Sharad, all we can do is connect the dots. We speak to different people. We look at the landscape. We connect the dots and see what we think is a true reflection of how the economy is doing, right? Taking data points from corporate Malaysia. The government has said that it will not hesitate to shut down unethical multi-level marketing companies, or MLMs. There used to be more than 600 licensed MLM companies in the country, but now the figure has been cut to just over 300.
Something really big must be going on, because not too long ago we had Bank Negara also coming out with a statement and be careful of these scams, as the Securities Commission has also said the same thing. So there must be something going on. A lot of people are being
scammed.
Remember
we had that headline, was it too good to
be
true?
Yeah. But is the MLM a legitimate business model?
Very good question. I think there is a very big difference between a legit MLM and one that's not.
A Ponzi scheme, for
a Ponzi, instance. Yeah, because the difference is that with a dodgy MLM, your money is made through membership drives, right? And with a legit MLM, you want to sell products to make your money.
Okay. So I guess now we have to be wary of errant multi-level marketing companies. Should there be, I think, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So better do your research before you hand over that cold hard cash you've been working for. Look, 7:55, and a Russian diamond group called World of Diamonds has teamed up with a company that specializes in, and I'm going to quote here, unique experiences to stimulate the senses. This company is called C'est la Vie in Singapore. And what they've done is they're trying to sell this really rare 2-carat diamond. It's called a fancy, vivid blue Jane Seymour diamond ring. And as part of an incentive to buy that, they're going to throw in a $2 million exclusive dining experience, which includes a helicopter ride.
One of the recent issues of The Economist had a story about diamonds. huge diamond, uncut, was on sale. It didn't
nobody
get...
Nobody bought it.
Nobody bought it, right? And there's a lot of speculation that because of the bad press over blood diamonds that and millennials being millennials and wanting greater experience... No, I mean they're not driven by the
material.
I'm sure millennials are, but
they just save their checkbooks and not buy the $2 million diamond.
Well, they want to go and experience the world. They want
experiences,
to,
as
yeah,
opposed
they want
to
experiences
things.
Rather than things. Let's say that's true. I'm just a broad assertion that you know this is why you know companies like are trying to kind of talk up the diamond, you know, and throw in. So you buy a diamond and you get a dining experience. So
well, not just a dining experience. You're talking about a 45-minute scenic helicopter ride in a, and then you have a Rolls-Royce chauffeur drive, a private cruise, a 18-course dinner on top of Marina Bay Sands with 10,000 fresh roses okay, and okay. a live band.
Okay, look.
Sorry, I'm just going on and on.
In the past, you only had to talk about a diamond to feel the associations. Now you actually have to deliver on the associated pleasures as well for the industry.